Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. That's more like it. It's really such a privilege to share the word amongst you. It's really nothing, just simply God's grace. And I really just this morning just want to position my heart to listen to what the Lord wants to say to us. As Enrique has mentioned, my name is Temba, and I'm really so excited to just share what the Lord has been doing and what He's placed in my heart. So I'm not just trusting Lord where to start this. on Friday, I remember coming back from work and I was really having this sense of, like, not grief, but like there was something that I was sensing where it feels very like dry. And I was like wrestling with it, like, Lord, what are you trying to say? What's happening? And the moment I kept on looking to Him, I just felt the word hardships. And it really feels like maybe for some of us, it's been only 4 months into this year, but you've been going through hardships and like twists and turns. But with that, I really believe that the Lord wants to come and reveal His heart to us this morning. So I don't know, like by faith, is there anyone that feels like, it's been 4 months in, but like it feels like there have been many hardships in my life? Show of hands. I really believe that the Lord wants to come and do something. So I'm just going to pray for us. Lord, thank you that you know every detail of our lives, that you know us through and through. I pray, Lord, that it's so evident that we do not walk alone. You walk alongside us. I want to pray, Lord, that you come and you comfort your children, Lord. As they're going through hardships, Lord, I pray that would you remind them that you are the living hope, that they can cling unto you, Lord. So thank you, Lord, that you are doing a new thing, Lord, that you will give him the strength to go through. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So this morning, I want to speak about our living hope. I'm so glad when Enrico was praying, he was praying into like the hope of glory, living hope. And I really feel like this is something the Lord has for us this morning, him as our living hope. So weeks back, we've been doing, going through like building his church. And Haya made mention of we have Jesus as the cornerstone. And God gave me this picture of a house that's being built where Jesus is the cornerstone. And also with that, again, reminded me that like when you're building a house, you come to a point where, okay, the cornerstone is the most important piece on the house. But as the house is finished, we sort of don't recall the cornerstone. Sort of like it's important, it's there, but we don't recall. We live in this house, and it's all about what we can put inside, like the paintings and all of that. But the anchor of the house is a cornerstone. And also, he said, like, we're building for his presence. We're not building for anything else but Jesus to come dwell in. And I really pray and I trust that this morning that we'll get to a place where we recognize that we're not building for anything else. We're building for his presence. And then we had the privilege where Francois preached about just stripping everything away. And I really feel like for this house to be able to stand, we need to strip everything away, comfort, anxiety, everything else that takes us away from the Lord. This is, trust me, this is not a series, but I just feel like it's something which the Lord is touching on again and again. And this morning, speaking about our living hope. So in this house, there needs to be hope, but not just any hope that is based on anything else, numbers of people, or how we serve, or anything, but Jesus Christ is the living hope. And I really trust that he's going to come and transform our hearts this morning to recognize that. So I want to start where, if we look at hope, what does Oxford say about hope? It's basically a feeling of expectation and a desire for a particular thing to happen. How many of us have hoped for something? Okay, great. I see many people hoping for stuff. What happens when that hope is not met? When you're hoping for something and your hope is not met, there comes disappointment, I believe. So this morning, I want us to first go read Proverbs 13, verse 12. Okay, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. I really saw this picture of us having hope and then hope that's not fulfilled and our hearts being sick. I really believe the Lord is taking us into a time where people are going to come in and then they're going to check, is there hope in this place? But hope doesn't come by us doing anything else, but it comes by us referencing and looking at Jesus. I know even as I started, I asked if there are any people going through hardships and tribulations. Maybe it was stuff that you've hoped for, but that has not come through. And now your heart is sick. I really believe there's a healing that the Lord wants to do in our hearts where he comes and fulfills us. So let's look at a group of people, and this is usually what happens when our hope is stolen. If we read the book of Numbers, Numbers 21, I'm going to read from verse 4 to 9. Okay, so the backstory of this, the Israelites are still in the quest, going into the promised land, and they came through a town, Ahab, where they asked the Lord that, God, can you give us victory over this place? And the Lord gives them victory. So now, this is what happens. So they traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God, against Moses, and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest the miserable food. Sure. The Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites die. I'm just going to post it there for a bit. So here's a nation that has seen the handiworks of God, a nation that has seen God open the Red Sea, a nation that has seen manna coming from heaven, but they come to a point where their hearts grow impatient. I don't know. For me, just seeing the Red Sea open was enough. Seeing what the Lord has done in Egypt, where he just demonstrated his power and authority, but they come to this point where they grow weary and they grow cold. They start complaining. And I really want us to come to a point where we examine our hearts. What is it that maybe is creeping in us that we're complaining about? It might be something which it's not even evident, but it's like, I had my friends, we recently planted, now I don't get to see my friends. I understand for us it's a new season, something that the Lord is doing afresh. But are we grumbling? Have we forgotten what the Lord has done and what he's still to do? I really feel that this is one of the things that takes hope away when we fixate our eyes on anything else besides God. Lord, would you help us, Lord, not to look at anything else besides you? I don't know, it really strikes my heart to see that we can come to the point where we miss him because of our tongues, because of what we conceive, because of what we say. I really trust that we'll come into a point of realization that Christ is the hope of glory. He is our living hope. So, but something quite cool happens as the verse goes along. The people came to Moses and said, we sinned. When we speak against the Lord and against you, pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord says to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is beaten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was beaten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. So Here, there's a recognition of that we have sinned, we have fallen short, we need to go back. And I think even for us this morning, is there that recognition if we are missing the living hope that we need to go back? And they appeal to Moses that, Moses, would you speak to the Lord? Would you intercede on our behalf? And I really just again think about, we speak about accountability. Do we ask people to intercede on our behalf? Do you ask people to come close to us so that we can go before the living God? So this morning, yes, they had grown cold. Yes, they had done so many things, but the Lord still made a way. There was hope in the camp. Where people were miserable, where people were dying, the Lord made a way. He asked of Moses, like, would you put up a bronze snake on a pole? We're gonna look at how, what does that entail in this day and age. And the other thing that I felt the Lord is saying is that the moment we lose hope, it's when we stray away from the gospel. Let's go to the book of Galatians. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. So here, Paul is writing to the group in Galatia where their gospel was being infiltrated by so many other things, where they were trying to have add-ons to the gospel. And I think like the moment where our hearts are taken away, where we don't see the living hope, is when we turn to other things but Christ. There came a point where in their walk, I'm sure at one stage they had it, where they were looking at the true gospel, but as situations and circumstances come through their midst, they started drifting away. And I really want to ask us this morning that, are you drifting to a different gospel? Are you clinging on to the living hope, or there is something else that you are clinging on to? I feel like the Lord wants to remind us to cling only unto him, the one that came, lived the life that we should have lived, and died the death that should have been in our place. He has brought us to a place of a living hope. And where we get to see this is that no matter what the circumstances, no matter what is happening, but Christ is the living hope. As I was preparing for this, I was just like, Lord, examine my heart. Where am I drifting? Because it's so easy to see us as a group, as a whole. But even for me, day by day, I need you to also like, check in my life that where am I still holding on the line? For each and every person coming here, we're not building a Josh Jen brand, but we are living for the eternal God. We are living for a God that far sees what we can see. So this is not a brand thing. It's a thing of like, we want to cling unto you, Christ, with our dear lives. I recall a picture of someone, I think it was a son that something was happening with him, but like the father was like clinging onto his son for dear life. And when I saw that picture, it just reminds me of how we need to cling to the living Christ. In 1 Peter, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, fade, kept in heaven for you. So as we are living for an inheritance that can never fade, that is kept in heaven for us. And I'm so much aware of the works that the Lord has done on the cross, but even for much more, for what still needs to happen, that we have an eternal glory waiting for us. coming to a point where we strip away what we think we need to hold on to, but realizing that we are born again. And maybe some of you are asking, like, how does this work? How are we born again? If we look at John chapter 3. So this is a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were known to be people that uphold the law, but they didn't have a living hope inside of them. They kept the laws, but they didn't want to live for him. And I want us to not fall into the trap where we keep the laws and the rules, what looks like for a Christian to be, but we're not living for him. And I really ask of us that, so Nicodemus, he goes to Jesus in the night, wondering, like, but how can I be born again? Because he recognized that as much as I'm doing this, but there is no living hope in my life. I don't know about you, are you at a point where you have set Christ as your living hope? Or there are still many other things that you want to associate with except him, where you think you'll find hope? And when I was like preparing for this, I was just like, yo, how about my job? Is that where I find my living hope? It should never be. School, is that where I find my living hope? Yes, God takes us through different seasons, but is he, the Lord, your ultimate living hope? And I really believe that if we recognize what he has done and what he will still do, then we'll do nothing but run to him, because he is the living hope for us. So Christ tells Nicodemus that you need to be born again. But then verse 14, I can just keep it up again. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The Lord gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. That is the living hope. That is what we are living towards. I remember during the conference, the Equip, one of the speakers spoke about eternity, where it's so easy to live for the now and not think about eternity. When Gert was making announcement for the upcoming times where we're getting equipped, is that there's something that we are living for. There's eternity waiting for us. But I want to ask us this morning, are we set on Christ as being the living hope? Or we are still fixated on the many other things that takes us away from the ultimate prize? How are you running your race? Are you running in such a way that you are set focused on him and nothing else? I want to ask us this morning that he lived, he died, and he rose again. And it sometimes feels like, oh yeah, we have it in the back of our minds that Christ lived, died, and rose again. But it's much more than that. He is the living God. He is the one that was and is to come. He made a way for us to be with him. Same as the Israelites, when sin had broken into camp, he made a way with a bronze snake. But this time, he takes up his only son on the cross so that whoever believes and looks at him might have eternal life. And this is what we need to carry as we go. But even further that, Enrico shared in Matthew 28, we get the commission. To gospel. It's one thing to be saved. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad that the Lord made a way for me. But then he gave us a commission after that. Are we carrying the living hope? So many people are broken outside. There's so many hardships happening. But are we at a point where we are getting the gospel to people? Are we giving out the living hope? When someone walks into this room, will they see the resurrected Christ in us? Will they see that, yo, there is living hope in this place? Or are they going to see people that, I don't know, cold or so much focused on themselves? And I really say this treading carefully. Are we living for him? Are we convinced that when we walk out of that door, that he is the living hope? When we arrive at your workplace, will they recognize the guy that we know on a Sunday? Or they're like, oh, okay, no, you're a Christian? I want us to come into a place where we realize that we are the living hope and that the Lord has made a way for people to come to know him. Some of the people will never get a chance to maybe listen to a sermon like this, but we are the living testimonies when we walk out of this building. I always say that often you go to a shop, the cashiers, and so many times I'm just so much focused on what I want, what I need to buy, and then off. But not even taking a moment to realize that this person might not have the living hope in them. They might not know him, and they're struggling without knowledge of him. So I really want to encourage us to come into the place of realizing that he died, but then in that, he's resurrected, and then we have the privilege to give out the living hope. So one of the things I felt the Lord just placed in my heart of like, how can we cling on to the living hope? And this sounds so easy, but one is like us putting our trust in him. For us to continue living in the hope that Christ has given us, we need to put our trust in him. Is your trust solely on Christ or something else? I've been at a place where my trust was, okay, the Lord, but then also what I can do. Where it's, okay, I'll live for you, but then I know that my trust for living comes from my salary. And that is not living hope. That is us living for ourselves. We need to fully trust the Lord. Let's read Proverbs 3:5-6. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and men. Let's go to 5, sorry. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. Trusting the Lord with all your heart. If you are certain of the living hope, you need to trust the Lord with all of your heart and not lean in your own understanding. Are we at a place where like we are fully trusting the Lord, where come rain or snow, we're like, Lord, I'm going to put my trust in you. Whoever comes in, whatever doctrine comes in, but I'm still going to put my trust in you. And I feel like the Lord has taken us into that place. And I think three guys that fully demonstrates this, if we read in Daniel 3:16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, came a time when the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, he's like, let's make a statue so that people can worship it. And like, this was a decree, it was a rule. And I think if we were living in today's day and age where we were going to be tempted to say like, you know what, it's not really in my heart. I'm just going to take a knee. I'm just going to bow for a bit. It doesn't really matter. But they made a decision because they trusted the living God. And their heart's posture was this, that whether he comes through for us or not, we will not bow down. If you have found the living hope, no matter what hardships come, no matter what tribulation comes, you're not going to bow down to that. You're going to cling on looking at Christ. And I want to encourage us that even in this year, there's still going to be hardships. I'm not speaking doom over your lives. But I'm just giving the practicality of as we are following Christ, as he is our living hope, there's going to be challenges along the way. But with that, where do we cling to? He's our living hope. So put your trust in him and do not lean in your own understanding. The other thing is that be ready in and out of season. So 1 Peter 3:15, but in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So Peter here is writing to the people in exile all over Asia and the regions where I think being in prison, I don't think it's like a funny thing to have. I think it's like it's hard, you're restricted, you're bound. And he's writing to these people that always be ready to give an account for the hope that lives in you. Once you have tasted him and seen him, you need to come into a place where you are ready to give an account for the hope that lives in you. Are you at a point where you are set that whatever comes my way, I will give an account? And this is such a thing that it will test you on a day-to-day basis. Will you be ready to give an account? If he's your living hope, I don't think it's a question of like if. We need to be ready to give an account for the hope that lives in us. Because Christ is the living hope. And one other thing that I felt, it's don't look back. I was reminded of, I'm just going to go through this story. I was reminded of Lot's wife, I think in Genesis 19, verse 26. What happens is that came a time when Lot and his wife, they were living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And in that city, everything went. It was just chaos. It was just sin that people were living in. And then the angel of the Lord wanted to destroy that city. But then first had an encounter with Abraham, and he pleaded with the Lord that if there are a few good people, will you save them? That's one of the times where I see, I can say men, not like wrestling with the Lord, but like pleading with the Lord. It's like, if there are 50 good people, will you save that city? Okay, yes. If there are 45, will you save that city? Okay, yes. If there are 30, and I'm like, yo, there must be something. Why is he pleading with the Lord for people? I think there's something about lost people that touches God's heart. When he sees people that are vulnerable, when he sees people that are lost without a shepherd, I almost want to say that he goes out of his way for people. So, and then an instruction came that, okay, he's going to save this city. Then he went, they encountered Lot, and then they told him, like, at dawn, move away from this place. And then the instruction was, don't look back. So as they were traveling, as the city was being destroyed, Lot's wife looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. And I want to ask us this morning, we have seen the living hope. Are we looking back to what or to where we were before encountering the living hope? And I really feel like this is something that the Lord is stressing in our hearts, that do not look back. Do not go back to the same place in which you were before you encountered the living hope. If anything of this message, like, please take this, that I'm not going to look back to where I was, the shame and the guilt, the lifestyle that I live, but I'm going to cling on to the living hope, and I'm going to keep on going forward, striving. Yeah, it's. I've seen where people are lost and they're without hope, and there's no reason to, feels like there's no reason to live. And the Lord takes out of this place. I think your franchise did an amazing demonstration of like how it looks like when we give anxiety to him and then we go and we want to take it back. Let us not be the people that we keeps on going back to where the Lord has taken us off. And I really feel a strong word for us as a congregation that a season is coming and it's upon us where people are going to be in our midst, where they're broken, where we're going to need to lead them into the more of Christ. And that happens when we are not looking back, when we are not going back to what we used to be, but clinging on to the living hope. So as I go to an end of this, I'm like, Lord, you are a faithful God, and he knows every detail of our lives. He knows where each and everyone is at. I want to ask us this question. Have you recognized the living hope? Are you at a place where you can fully say that I've encountered the living hope and that there is a hope for me that I can have eternal life? Are you at a place where you know him and not just hear about him? I really want us to think about this. If you have never encountered the living hope, the one that died for your sake, would you turn to him this morning? Would you look at him this morning saying that, yo, I don't want to live in my trespasses. I don't want to live in my sins anymore. But I want to walk with a living hope. Let's close our eyes.